In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Brothers and sisters, we're in this beautiful time of great and holy Lent, and we know what it's a time for. It's a time for repentance. We've discussed what that is, a turning of our mind away from sin, a time of changing with the grace of God. A time when this heart of stone, the Father said we have a heart of stone in this world, must be made, but not by our own power, but the power and grace of God, into a heart of flesh. As the Psalms say, take away my heart of stone and give me a heart of flesh. To soften my hard heart, your hard heart, we're given this Lenten time for our hearts to move from being insensitive to being very perceptive of God, other people, to move from being freezing cold and hard to warm and open to everyone else. And of course, most open to the one that maybe eludes us the most, the living God, our great lover, the person who can love us and be betrothed to us like no other, our sweet Christ. Lent, which is quickly escaping us, brothers and sisters, more than halfway done, it's a time of renewal. You know, we're sensing spring right now. This time is called the Lenten spring. And in our place, we're getting some more snow now, right? But all of creation is kind of sensing this. Everything becomes new again. After the corruption and death of fallen winter, this season symbolizes new life, that truly everything can have a new beginning. Our life that had kind of gone away into a twilight, that's what happens in our sins, becomes alive again. And this time of Lent is for your faith to become alive, boot camp for your soul, and become alive with that, with a deep, serious intensity that God can communicate to us, because He was one of us, the God-man, and make us partakers of His Holy Spirit. Right? And how do we partake of the Holy Spirit? By partaking of the mysteries, by being baptized. The catechumens are getting ready for baptism. We're renewing our baptism through lots of confession during Lent to receive the greatest gift ever given to a human being that will ever be, which is the body and blood of Christ, the living God giving us His very life, eternity. This Lenten time is a time of reconciliation, asking forgiveness, healing relationships. And by the way, reconciliation and asking forgiveness and healing relationships is a joy, as difficult as it may seem. And it's not just our joy, it's God's joy when we go to a person we've been holding something against and say, forgive me. Or we call that person we've talked to in a long time that we hate, who maybe hurt us, forgive me. Right? God takes that, and this is the true beginning to a spiritual life. Constant new beginnings. My spiritual father always says, every day is a new beginning. No, Father Justin, every minute is a new beginning. And that's only possible in the life in Christ. Everywhere else in the world, we just tear ourselves down. If you're at work and you blow it and you're way behind, it's hard to get up and change because you figure, it's going to take me so long just to get out of this hole, to get back to zero, let alone make progress, and we procrastinate and we mess ourselves up. Same in school. If you're behind, it's like you just spare people to despair. The life in Christ is not like that. The second we turn to Him, when we turn to God in prayer, we come to holy confession, we're back to zero. Only place in the world that works is that He washes the slate clean. We're not earning anything. New beginning every minute. Nothing more beautiful. So every Sunday in Lent, you see, we've had different themes, you know. Last Sunday was that beautiful feast of the cross to give us strength. Now we have this icon before us of St. John Climacos. In Greek, that means St. John of the Ladder. He was an incredible saint. The 6th, 7th century in Sinai, an abbot of Jebel Musa. You know that, the mountain of Moses, where he received the commandments. This incredible monastery, the oldest monastery continuing in the Orthodox Church. It's a beautiful place. If you ever get a chance to go there, it's dangerous right now, all the trouble. But he was the abbot of that monastery. And you should, he wrote the great classic book called The Ladder of Divine Ascent. The Ladder of Divine Ascent. Every Orthodox Christian should buy this book and over the years look at it. It's not a book just for monastic people. Oh, he was speaking to monastics for sure. But the life in Christ is the same paradise, the same place, the same destination. I want to read a little bit for you from this book about what we're doing now. St. John says this, repentance, that is our return to God, is a renewal of our baptism. It is our effort to renew our covenant with God, our promise to change our life. Promise. It is a time when we can acquire humility, which is peace. You hear that? Humility is peace. With who? Peace with God. Peace with ourselves. Peace with the whole created world. Repentance is born of hope and rejection of despair. One who repents is one who deserves condemnation and yet goes away from the tribunal without shame, because repentance is our peace with God. And this is achieved through a worthy life, alien to the sins we committed in the past. Repentance is cleansing of our conscience. Repentance implies carrying away all sadness and all pain. It's one part of his book. So beautiful. If we ask ourselves, okay, how can I achieve it? How can we strive? How can we come to this and strive for it? How can we respond to our beloved? How can we respond to the invitation of our sweet Christ who is calling us, who receives us like the father of the prodigal son, waiting for us to come back from our idiocy? God who waits for us so longingly and lovingly and lent us a special time to answer his loving call to come home. He never turns away from us. Christ never rejects us. So how do we respond to that love? I think we're intimidated by that love. I know many persons who is afraid of being loved, afraid of what it might mean to be dedicated to God, to not be self-sufficient, to trust people, to trust God, to trust the spiritual father, because of the brokenness of this world. We must respond to this call. Here's a short word from St. John. Here's a short about prayer, especially. Don't use in prayer falsely wise words, because it is often the simple and uncomplicated whispering of children that rejoices our Heavenly Father. Don't try to say much when you speak to God, because otherwise your mind in search of words will be lost in them. One word spoken by the publican brought divine mercy upon him. One word filled with faith saved the thief on the cross. The use of the multiplicity of words when we pray disperses, distracts our mind, and fills it with dangerous imaginations. One word spoken to God collects the mind in his presence. And if a word in your prayer reaches you deeply, if you perceive it profoundly, dwell in it. Because at such moments, our guardian angel prays with us, because we are finally being true to ourselves and true to our God. That's the Jesus prayer. Not some, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. It covers everything. Simplicity, like the whisperings of children. So brothers and sisters, let's remember what this great St. John says. Even if you forgot the first quote that I read and it went over your head, get the book and read it. I really encourage you over your Orthodox life. Right? His words were amazing. This is a man of great asceticism. You read about the monasteries he visited and all the latter divine ascent on renouncing the world, on obedience, on humility, a whole ladder that's going up. We are all called to climb that ladder, brothers and sisters. What's the top rung? Paradise. Paradise. And guess what? That's not just when you die. The holy saints and the fathers and these saints around us teach us that the top rung, paradise, which is to be with Christ all the time, that's attainable in this life. That's true joy. But the path to get there is hard. It is not easy. And nothing in life worth doing is easy. The lie of our world is that, oh, if it's from God, it should be easy. No. Anything worth doing. This is our life. A cross. We promised God to carry this cross when we became Orthodox Christians. And the second it gets hard, we throw it down. Thinking, I can't do this, it's so hard. Don't believe the lie. Like last week, we talked about the cross and carrying it and embracing it and kissing it. The Father said that Christ voluntarily climbed the cross to save us. And we have to voluntarily take up our crosses too. We have many. Sickness, depression, despair, laziness, worldliness. It's destroying us, all of us. We are given this God-given time. Only a couple weeks left, brothers and sisters. This is the time of your salvation. Now is the time. We always put it off for later. Oh, I'll do it later. What if we die? Many a person dies quickly in their sleep, brothers and sisters. I don't say it to scare you. I say it to motivate you. Let's not squander this incredible time. People go, well, I want to be prayerful, but I'm not ready. If not now, when? When? It's hard, Father. Boot camp's hard. Many a boot camp Marine wants to go home and cry to mommy. But guess what? When he's finished, he's stronger than he's ever been. He's more humble than he's ever been. He finds strength he didn't know that he had. I told the catechism class yesterday, there's a Marine Corps guy, Navy SEAL, that says, talks about the 30% rule. He says, when you are, let's say you're running, and you're just, I can't run anymore. When you thought, I'm totally exhausted, I have nothing left in the tank. He says, you're only at 30% of your capacity. 30%. And the potential of human beings is way stronger physically than we think. The fathers say it's even more spiritually. We're using like 5% of our spiritual potential, so to speak. We don't believe in the stories of these lives of the saints. Why? Because we haven't experienced them. How sad is that? We judge them based on our own laziness. Right? There's a whole spiritual world that's alive, brothers and sisters. There's a whole spiritual world of prayer. The kingdom of heaven is within you. I say it all the time. I want you to think about that. That doesn't make any sense to this world. What do you mean? I thought kingdom of heaven is up there. When I die, I go up there. That's not what Christ says. The kingdom of heaven is within you. You have to go into your heart. How do you get into your... First of all, we don't even know we have a heart. I don't mean the emotional. No, the heart. The center of a human being in the church is not this. It's this. And there used to be a unity between this and this that was fractured in the fall. We say, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, a sinner. When we do our morning and evening prayers, and prayer becomes our breath, and we start fasting to truly take it as a weapon. Stop watching stupid things. Stop listening to stupid things. Stop eating and drinking, all these things that kill us. Let's take a break for a little while. And let's make God show himself to us. When you fast, you put your phone away, and you put the TV away, and you put the snacking food away, and you sit in front of your icons, we don't know what to do with ourselves. I'll go clean something. I'll go do something. Don't move. Be still and know that he's God. The devil wants you to be distracted in your prayers, thinking about dinner, thinking about the sandwich you're going to make, everything. Don't do it. Die to yourself. Be with Christ in that place. Otherwise, there's no way to descend into the heart. It's distracting here in the liturgy. There's kids, everything around. It's hard for me too. What makes it possible to pray in this liturgy is your time alone with Christ. And forgive me, too few of us take that time if we're honest. My faith is weak, Father. Your faith won't be weak if you force yourself every single day to quietly stand in front of your icons or on your knees and you pour your heart to God and you sit in that one word. The kingdom of heaven will open up to you. Right? It's not God's fault. It's our fault for not seeking him. 5%! There's 95% of the spiritual life open to us. When you read the lives of the saints about the incredible humility they had and how strong they were in martyrdom, I always say, I want that. They weren't different than you and I. They didn't have different DNA. I mean, they weren't like superhumans and we're like subhumans. They were fallen humans like you and I. What happened to them? Lent happened to them. Repentance happened to them. And something, the kingdom of heaven, broke into their life and became the content of their whole life. I told the catechumens yesterday, being an Orthodox Christian is radical. It's a total change of life. Don't believe the nonsense that says, oh, we can be secular, it doesn't matter what religion you are. That's not what Christ said. Repent. Repent. Prayer and fasting. If you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. Let's be bold. There's a story I told the catechumens as well. There's a priest who was an acquaintance of mine, an Antiochian priest. Him and his 8 children all moved to Russia. He got sick of America. I don't blame him. He got sick of a place where homosexuality is glorified. Disgusting sins is normal. Where they want to destroy the family. We're having lots of kids. They say, oh, it's child abuse. Right? Where people say it's funny to be homeschooling your children. Where they say, you know, where a kid can't say, I believe in Jesus Christ, and he's a bigot. It's coming to those days. Where they're going to come to priests and say, if you don't perform these gay marriages, if you say that Islam's wrong, we're going to jail. Those days are coming, just so you know. They are coming. Not apocalyptic. It's just clear. It's happening in Europe, any places. It's coming. I don't blame this priest for going to Russia. Whether you think about Russia or not, the priest is happy there. They gave him some fields. He's a farmer. Gave him some fields. He's learning Russian. His kids are happy. There's no like propaganda of homosexuality and all that stuff around them. He said they're happy that everybody's a family. But you know what? I don't agree with him. He didn't have a big parish. I think he didn't leave much. I could never leave you. Never. Not even if I wanted to. But I would never want to. My heart wouldn't allow it. We need priests and their families to stand up more than ever for what's right. And we need you in school and at work to be not ashamed of your cross, not ashamed of Jesus Christ, not ashamed of fasting, not ashamed to say that the church exists and it's one. Come and see. Don't let the Mormons steal that line. That's ours. People are so ashamed of their faith. Oh, I won't do my cross at my at school. Why not? Many a person has come to church because they see that that person cares about God. Oh, I don't want to fast and offend people. Why not? People are Buddhists and their backside fits in jeans. They'll tell people that they can't eat that. But we can't for Jesus Christ. We have to be serious about our faith. Serious about our prayers. Take this seriously. You know, I told people in the confession last night, it'd be one thing if we're falling apart and we're depressed, if we're taking the medicine and it's not working. That'd be a cause for despair. But the whole point of Lent is, that's not what's happening, is it? We're not taking the medicine. None of us are. Me either. We have a lot of work to do. But the medicine is there. And if we take the medicine, and what's more torturous than knowing what to do, knowing that healing's possible, the medicine's right in front of you, and not taking it? Why don't we do it? We're afraid. I think many people are afraid of, what would my life look like if I radically changed it for Christ? What am I leaving behind? You're losing nothing and gaining everything when you give yourself to Christ completely. You'll be better at work, better everywhere. You know what? You might have to lose your job because you won't deny Christ. That's like the saints. God will bless you. Maybe your kid gets kicked out of school because he says, no, homosexual, I don't believe in that. I'm not going to listen to this. Let him kick him out of school. It's like a martyr. Oh, Father, don't be extreme. The norm has become extreme. Anthony the Great says, the time will come when everyone will go crazy. And they'll find the last sane Christian and they'll say, let's seize him. He's crazy. He's not like us. More than ever, this broken world needs you to be lights. Fiery lights of Christ. Humble, but sure in who you are and knowing this is the hospital for your souls. If not now, when? If you don't light this candle of fire in your heart and find the kingdom of God, how will your co-workers find it? How will your neighbors find it? How will your non-Orthodox family find it? They won't. Father Paul and I are two people. You are the body of Christ. So I beg you in this time, inward spiritual work, inward missionary work, acquire the spirit of peace, St. Seraphim says, and thousands around you will be saved. And then outward missionary work, not to be ashamed of your faith. Put your life around fasting. Take this Lent and say, take all your priorities and switch them around. Prayer is the most important thing of my day. It has to go first. Front burner. Prayer. Going to church services. Keeping the fast at church. Reading the gospel. Front burner. And take going to the movies and going to the basketball game and all the other stuff and put it on the back burner. And the TV show and put it on the DVR recorder, whatever. Put that stuff that always gets your attention on the back. And take your sweetest lover, Christ, who always gets the shaft, who always gets thrown in the background, who's going to be our companion for eternity, put him on the front burner. And when that happens, paradise opens to you, truly. We say it all the time. And I'm telling you myself, I want to do more. So may God help us in these next couple weeks. The icon in front of you, read the scroll that St. John's holding in the middle. It says, climb, brothers, climb. May all of us, brothers and sisters in Christ, children, widows, let's climb with God's help that ladder to paradise. And you'd be surprised with some renunciation, with some denying ourselves, with some asceticism, the sweetness of climbing the ladder towards Christ is sweeter than any sin and alluring thing in this world. O Lord Jesus Christ, in the prayers of St. John, help us to bravely and boldly be lights to this world and to ascend the ladder to your glorious kingdom that has no end. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.